very thankful to be here with you all to worship today. I remember very well your precious meeting that I attended, your camp meeting this last year. I heard a singing tape, I don't know how many times in traveling, and it afforded me a great deal of pleasure as I gleaned and relived some of the things that I experienced here in your meeting. I had the privilege of being at this place in 1952 when you had your meeting. I knew your pastor, Elder Sam Knight. I had the privilege when I was a boy of hearing Elder G.S. Newman preach when he visited us in Colorado. I'm sure he's preached here a lot of times. Also heard Elder W.H. Richards and was with him in his last hour. The dear Primitive Baptist have afforded, through the blessing of God, has afforded me many, many wonderful, glorious blessings. And it has pleased the Lord to open to me some precious truths that feeds my soul and strengthens me in life. I join you in prayer for the dear people that are feeling such loss and such trauma and feel so alone and devastated. I take refuge in the God of glory, who is omniscient. He has all knowledge. He could explain this. I can't. I know that he knows. And not only does he have all knowledge, but he's omnipotent. He has all power. And sometimes when he takes away, he restores something better. I believe we can read about Job experiencing things taken away, but after they were taken away and after he suffered a while, and the Lord returned to him and returned other things to him, he had more than he had when he started taking away. So it's certainly wonderful to rest and trust in God in any situation. Not only, of course, his omniscience and his omnipotence and his omnipresence, there isn't anywhere or any place that God does not exist. And he knows all about my yesterdays and yours and all of our tomorrows, and what a blessing it is to take refuge in him. I'm very close to your dear pastor, and have been for some time, and my prayers are with him today, and hope he has a safe return to you. I'm really in trouble as I stand before you. I'll try to explain that. What I studied on last week, so far as my preaching on that today, that's out. I just couldn't do that at all. And what I studied on from 2 this morning to 3, I can't use that either. And what I had on the way from Round Rock here, that's gone. So I want you to understand what kind of condition I'm in. I certainly need your prayers as I am before you. Had some leading of mine since you began singing, and I'll try to read some and pray the Lord's help. May the reading be a blessing to you. I will read 11 verses from the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, a nation that knew not thee, shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. This is very comforting language to me, and how thankful I am that God's ways are higher than my ways and your ways, and his thoughts above our thoughts. You think about depraved man when God is not in all of his thoughts, or any of them, as the text signifies, and then that God should quicken us into divine life, and we should have precious thoughts of him and desire of him and seek him and feel the need of him. What a difference that makes in our lives. So before we existed in the world, he had thoughts of us and of his precious family in their various localities and the millions that inhabit the earth, that the God of heaven would look forward and know us and have glorious plans for us. This is so special to me as a poor individual, as I think of what God has done in my life and in yours, that this church, this place of worship, that has existed well over 100 years, and that men and women and little boys and little girls are still coming to the house of God to worship. Man in the past, I care not what nation it was that we think about, they have all worshiped something. Many of them worship themselves. Many of them worshiped false gods. But all had to look to something beyond themselves. And how special it is that I believe with all my heart that we worship the true and the living God, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that is and shall be with no changes. I don't know with you in your life when you began to think on his name, or how long you have felt his love in your heart. But I want you to know that whenever you can reflect and think back, when you thought on his name, or you felt his need, or you realized his existence, this is evidence that life eternal is in your very being. You are born again. The God of glory has touched your life, and as a consequence, there is you have a new life. And you didn't get rid of your old nature when this took place. And with me, I don't know how it is with you, but as I think back when I first recognized the existence of God and the love of God, I was only 9 years old. I used to tell people that I was born again then, but I decided what happened then was certainly evidence of my new birth rather than pinpointing when it took place. I read a text that says, "The wind blows where it listeth, you hear the sound thereof, and you can't tell from whence it comes or whether it goes, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit." And I don't remember when I was born, naturally. I don't remember when I took my first step. I don't remember when I used to take things that were handed to me. That isn't in my memory. But evidently those that witnessed that knew that I was living naturally. And when we witness individuals that long for the living God, that seek his word, that want to do right and want to live right and want to learn how to live in the world, that is evidence that the God of heaven has touched their soul. That's quite a difference from a person whose feet are swift to shed blood. That's quite a difference from those that yell, "Crucify him, crucify him, away with such a man." So you see how gracious it is, and how fitting the words that I have read in your hearing, and how special it is to us this morning that you and I would long for spiritual things, and that we in our life, whether we have done it or not, we have wanted to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all things would be added to us. And I suppose I can confess with each of you that I have spent much of my time seeking the wrong things and following the wrong things. Even after I thought that I was seeking first the kingdom of heaven, as I take a retrospective view, because our old nature is corrupt and we can be led astray very easily. But let's look at the language. What a glorious invitation. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Now, the God that we worship is an economical God. He set a table in the wilderness for the 1.5 million or 2 million or however many there were in the wilderness in the 40 years journey. He set a table there that all of them might eat naturally, and it wasn't too hard for the Lord. You think about setting a table in the wilderness, and you know, I've heard about how many people Primitive Baptists can feed when we have a wonderful meeting. But you think about the God of heaven in the desert supplying the need of people 40 years, and they gathering manna for 40 years in the wilderness, and the God of heaven supplying. And I think this is figurative of our journey here in our spiritual journey. The God of heaven, there is in his word
And there is in the gospel and in the instruction that there is in God's word, there's enough here for you and I to eat and drink spiritually, and there's enough for those that have been before us, and there's enough for all that will follow in our lives that is in God's precious word. I don't want to change it. I don't want to add to it. I want it as it is, and I want it. I want to understand it and God to open it to me that I can break the bread so that people can eat and drink spiritually speaking. Oh, everyone that thirsteth. Now, this only applies. Now, anyone that has natural life certainly thirsts for natural water. Now, they had that thirst in the wilderness when Moses smote the rock under the direction of God, and a water came forth out of the rock, and they drank of that rock and all of their cattle there in the wilderness. What I'm talking about now is different to that. It is being satisfied by the Spirit of the living God. I believe there's a text in the Psalms where he said, there is a river, the streams thereof make glad the city of God. And this is a gospel stream. This flows from God. It is of his everlasting love and the glad tidings and the good news of all that he has accomplished for us, of all that he has done and all that he will do. Get out of the hat. Excuse me. I've had quite a cold this past week. I'm still losing my voice. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money. It isn't something that we buy. Or those that think they can buy it are not going to find any benefit. And he that hath no money. Come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. To explain as briefly as I know how, I believe this, when a poor sinner can see everything that they stand in need of in the Lord Jesus Christ, if that will not satisfy the soul, nothing else will. He's the fountain of living waters. He is our near kinsman. He's the firstborn among many brethren. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he lived and died in our room and stead. And he rose again, the victor over death. And he ever lives and makes intercession for us. I was thinking this morning about we were talking about age, and I mentioned King David. You know, he is figurative. David is figurative of the Lord Jesus Christ, and our Lord came of the seed of Abraham and of the lineage of Judah and David, and he is called David's son, and he is according to the flesh. But the point I wanted to make, I'm trying to get you to see the glory of your Savior, Jesus Christ. When David was old, he went out to battle in his latter years, and he faced either the son of Goliath or the brother of Goliath. I forget which it was that he faced, and he almost fainted, or he was faint. And one of his captains, Abishai, assisted him and delivered him from the giant there in 2 Samuel, in the 21st of 2 Samuel. And here's my point. The army said to David, the men of the army said to David, that you're not going out with us anymore, lest you quench the light of Israel. They didn't want anyone faint out there in the battle. They wanted strong men. They wanted warriors. Well,
I want you to know that in this lesson, you know in the 17th of 1 Samuel that David met Goliath, the champion of the Philistines, and though he was a man of great stature and a champion among the Philistines, he was well armed. If you look at his spear and his sword and all of the armor that he had that had been provided by man, but what is the provision of man when they're facing the God of glory, the great God of heaven? And David went to him in the power of him that delivered him from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, and because he had defied the armies of the living God, he came to him, and he would take his life because God was with him. As he said to his brothers when they said, what are you doing here? And he said, is there not, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? There was a cause that he came. My point being this, that giant fell headlong from a stone from the sling of David, and his brother fell by the hand of David or his men, and his sons fell either by David or his men. And so will our spiritual David slay destroy all the power of the wicked one. He will overcome. And when he died on the cross, and when he gave his life and offered himself without spot to God and ascended on high, he sets there the victor, and he makes intercession for us. So, as I said, in looking at this text, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. And wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight in fatness. And when see Jesus Christ, the Savior, behold him by faith. I need a representative. I need a mediator. If we see ourselves wretched and undone, I remember before that Job had understood his relationship to God, but he saw his own sinfulness. He saw his own wretchedness, and he said, if I washed my hands with snow water until they were never so clean, yet thou would plunge me in the ditch, and my own clothes would abhor me. And neither is there any days, man, to stand between us that he might lay his hand upon us both. Your mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a perfect representative. He is a perfect representative because he was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he was made like unto his brethren, sin accepted. So, as he took not the nature of angels, but you might ask, why did not an angel come to represent us? Because it was our father Adam that had sinned. And had fallen. And it was through him that sin entered in the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon us all, for that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and every mouth is stopped. And we stand guilty before God, and Job saw that wretchedness, but he didn't yet see the mediator. But notice the difference. Notice the difference when he beheld him, when he realized his existence, and said, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book and let it in the rock forever, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. and he'll stand in the latter day upon the earth, and I'll see him for myself, and so on. As you know the text, that is wonderful, because we can behold him. And I want to relate this to you. It's very serious to me. In many meeting places, even sometimes where they claim religion, they don't want the name of Jesus Christ mentioned. It's all right to mention God, but don't mention Jesus Christ. And without him, I have no acceptance. He's the only mediator between God and men. There isn't any other channel through which that we can reach God. He came down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent him. And this is the Father's will: of all that he hath given him, he should lose nothing but raise it up again at the last day. And yet men deny his existence, even as they did when they beheld him in his day. But I'll tell you, he is God and he is man, and he has all power both in heaven and in earth, and none can withstand him. He is the living God. He's the true bread from heaven. He's the fountain of living waters, and we can drink at that fountain. It is the knowledge of it was made laid open to me through the blessing of God and hearing his word, and hearing the glad tidings and the good news, the best news that's ever been proclaimed in the world. The news now is nearly everything we read and nearly everything we hear news-wise is some terrible event, some tragedy, a bunch of evil doings that shows the depravity of men. But this is the good news. This is the glad tidings. This is the removal of sin, if you please, by the power of God. I think about my poor thoughts, my activities, and yet, after reading his word for more than 50 years, and after being in the church since 1943, and trying to go about to serve him and worship him, yet I find myself a poor sinner. I find myself failing in the things that I wish that I had done better. And do you have any experience like that? But God in mercy, he from time to time will bless a song to me. He from time to time will especially bless a sermon to me. And I will go to the house of God, and I declare to you in all sincerity that God made that to me a special place that exceeds all the beauty that the world affords. That's some of the things that I find in studying God's Word. It feeds my soul. It gives me instruction. It points to me the truth. It's a fountain of living water to me. And the blessing that I find, where he said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." I've experienced that. And I know that you experience it not only in your meditation, but when your dear pastor is proclaiming the riches of God's grace, that glorious hymn, "Salvation, oh, the joyful sound, harmonious to the ear," and a healing balm for every wound, a cordial for our fears. What complete salvation, knowing that how wonderful it is. Come to the waters. He said, "I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground." And this, to me, is figurative language of what takes place in the gospel church of the living God, where the gospel is preached
and where people hear and rejoice in the love of God and in the power of God and rejoice in their mighty deliverance through Jesus Christ. He's the only Savior. It is not a joint concern. He delivers. And he said, when the poor and needy seek water and there is none, he'll open fountains of water to them. This is opened by the power of the living God. And here in our language, I want to tell you that that what I've read in your hearing, it was given principally to Israel of old. They were about to go into captivity. In a few years, they would be taken into Babylonish captivity. Not only is this a prophecy of the coming of the gospel kingdom, because in our text it mentions a nation I'll read the fifth verse. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee, and shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. You see, I think this is talking about you and I this morning, because the gospel was not first preached to the Gentiles. It was not even lawful till after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it was prophesied he would be a light to the Gentiles and his rest should be glorious. And that's what we're talking about this morning, of this glorious rest that is in seeing Jesus Christ as King and Lord of Lords, and our husband and our friend and our near kinsman that is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. But this text is also to Israel of old, because he said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Now, this is not talking about becoming a child or becoming an heir of God, but it's an admonition to Israel that they would turn from their ways. As in the beginning of this prophecy, he described their condition. If you will read the first chapter of Isaiah, you will find that their condition was terrible. It was polluted. And even their solemn assemblies were an abomination to the Lord. So it is, and the whole head was sick and the heart faint. And the condition, the medication hadn't done any good. It hadn't changed their condition. Read that and you will see for sure what I'm talking about. But he said, seek the Lord while he may be found. He had told them that if they would be willing and obedient, they would eat the good of the land. But if they rebelled, the mouth of the sword would devour them. And this is just about what is going to take place. So he said, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. I had the privilege, Anibis Joe and I had the privilege of being in London a few years ago. Having been there, I could return, but if I hadn't been there, I never could return. We read admonitions of people returning to the Lord, some theologians want to declare that this is a universal invitation to receive life or to get life by your action. And you know that salvation is by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. And it's founded on the electing love of God the Father, and the quickening power of the Spirit, and the redemptive work of the Son of God. But he's talking to Israel of old.
Pardon me.
Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. That could apply to his family today. And it is not talking about the impenitent wicked. It's not talking about the characters that had not known the Lord, or had never been in fellowship, or had never had acceptance in Him. And He said, let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and He will abundantly pardon. Oh, let us think about that, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. You know, in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, or taught the disciples to pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. You know, it's hard work to be as forgiving to others as our God has been with us. There is abundant pardon, but if we can just have a hint of our own sinfulness and our own needs and our own depravity and how we have failed, and that we were 10,000 talents in debt and had nothing to pay with, and God paid the debt through Jesus Christ. He gave His Son, and His Son gave His life, that precious offering. Well, the forest of Lebanon would not have done for a sacrifice. If you'd taken all of the trees of all of the world and had a bonfire and offered it to God for an offering, that would not have done it. 10,000 rivers of oil would not have done it. You're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. The stream of blood from the first Passover until the last that was offered when Jesus Christ took the Passover with His apostles, that the blood of all of those lambs together would not put away sin, but the precious blood of Jesus Christ that offered Himself without spot to God. Those five wounds that He received on the cross, the prince in His hands and in His feet, and the sword in His side, and forthwith came blood and water, the cleansing tide, the cleansing efficacy of the precious body of Christ, puts away your sin and mine forever and forever. And it reaches back as well as forward. The prophet said, half toward the hinder sea and half toward the former sea, in summer and winter shall it be. So it reaches to righteous Abel. It reaches to the end of time. And this is something that will quench the thirst and still the hunger of the family of God. It's no wonder that David cried in the 42nd Psalm, and our hymn is almost like that, as thirst the heart for water brooks, so my soul longs for thee. So it is. People have been coming to the fountain and drinking and have been made satisfied and happy in the glorious things of God. Some think that because we don't believe that what we preach will assist people to get life and be saved eternally, then it's hard for them to understand why that I try to preach. Why is it that I have driven almost 2 million miles in the last 50 years for this purpose, and yet I don't think through my preaching more people will go to heaven? Well, in the first place, God's book does not teach that. It teaches that we're passive in the reception, in the new birth. we are not, that this is a work, this is a creation. You're created in Christ Jesus. You're quickened into divine life by the power of the living God. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We were inactive. We received life through the grace of God. I give unto them eternal life, and they'll never perish. It is a gift. It is a gift of Almighty God through Jesus Christ, His Son. Now, He said, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Things around here don't look like they did when I was here at your meeting. You've had some rain, and the grass is greening a little bit, and there's prospects you're having a crop this year due to what God sent from heaven. It's not going to return from heaven. And when He sends water to the thirsty, and sends bread to the hungry, it's going to accomplish what he meant for it to accomplish. He said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. When He preached, when Jesus Christ preached to some, it was the most precious message that had ever been. It was the most precious message that was ever spoken, because never man spake as He spake. And He spoke not as the scribes, but He spoke as one that had authority. They marveled, yet they marveled at the gracious words which He spake, and yet then some said, is not this the son of Joseph, whose brothers and sisters we know? They didn't understand. And how does this man have this knowledge, having never learned letters? Oh, they didn't know He was the Son of God. And He can make Himself acquainted. He made Himself acquainted to the woman at the well that had come there for water, and was introduced to the Son of the living God. At first, she took Him just as another Jew, and was in wonder as to why He would even speak to her, because the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. He said, if you had known the gift of God, you would have asked of me, and I would have given thee living water. And she said, you don't have a rope to draw with, and the well is deep. Are you greater than our father Jacob that gave us this well? She was going to get acquainted with this glorious Savior. I like to think about this because it's so personal. It was necessary that He pass that way, that he pass through Samaria. And I don't know how many other individuals that He spoke with individually, but there's an account of this woman. And she went away saying, come see a man that told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? So it is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Son of the living God, that is the Creator of heaven and earth. When I first started reading the Scriptures, and I thought of God the Father, I thought of Him as the Creator of heaven and earth, and without the Son. But then, as I read on, and I found that without Him, that is with Jesus Christ, the Son, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life, and this was the light of men. So, His glorious word, when He preached, some rejoiced. Others said that He hath a devil, and they could not hear Him. They heard His voice, they heard what He said, but they denied His power, and they denied the things that He expressed. But to some, it was words of salvation, and precious indeed.
how glorious when he touched a deaf ear and they heard. How glorious when he touched a blind eye and they saw. And when that leper that was so far removed from camp and would cry, unclean, unclean, and he touched him and he was healed immediately. That is glorious to me. If you will take the time and read in the 14th chapter of Leviticus what a process they went through to heal the leper under the law, and what a process it was, and how long that it took. And then you read where Jesus reached forth and touched a man that had leprosy and said, I will, be thou clean. And it was instantaneous. How glorious is the gospel and the New Testament church above the law service. That which is in the past is only figurative and only a shadow of that which is come. And it's no wonder Solomon said, until the daybreak and the shadows flee away, I'll get me up to the mountain of myrrh, to the hill of frankincense. We're going to get nearer in the church of the living God. But even now, we see through a glass darkly, but one day we're going to see face to face. He said that my word will not return to me void. It was meant for the hungry, and it was meant for the thirsty, and it was meant for those that longed for the Lord and sought his presence and wanted to learn of him. And so teeming millions have. I realize that we as a gospel body are certainly in the minority, but I'll tell you, the gospel is still being preached and people are still rejoicing in the glorious things of God. And I pray that we, if we're spending our money for that which is not bread, and our labor for that which is not meat, by that, if we think that it's through human instrumentality that we have life, or that we can be satisfied with things without God, we're sadly mistaken. But to seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and wait on him to add the things that we stand in need of, is the best plan. Jesus has gone before, and he has set the pattern, and the way is glorious. He's the Savior of sinners, and he's head over all things to the church. I hope this morning that you've gotten something from what I've attempted to bring you and from the reading. I have one consolation in preaching, that if I can't tell the church what I want to tell them in my effort, sometimes the Lord will reveal to them what I'm trying to say, and they can take comfort in being seated together in an assembly of the saints. It's very precious to be together and to worship. May unity and peace and love and grace abide with you, and may your labors abound in his service and worship. And may God bless you and keep you. We'll have a hymn. There's one or more present. Start tonight with the church. Come forward, stand and sing.